most gracious Father, open our hearts to sincere worship and our lips to show forth your praise. Guide us through your Holy Spirit to eliminate any sinful weakness that might interfere with our worship this morning, so that the total meditation of your people proclaims the excellencies of Jesus, who died that we might live, and who evermore lives that we may never die. Amen. Welcome to the worship service this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, our resurrected Savior, on this, the second Sunday of the Easter season. We pray the Spirit of God may be poured out upon us richly as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We've come into the presence of our God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of heaven. Peace on earth, we sing. worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Let us pray. Grant, we implore you, Almighty God, that we who have celebrated the mystery of the Lord's resurrection may, by the help of your grace, bring forth the fruits thereof in our life and conduct. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. First of our scripture readings today is drawn from the book of Revelation in the first chapter, where John the Apostle was granted the special revelation of and vision of Jesus, the resurrected Savior, in the fullness of his heavenly glory as an encouragement to him in his work as an apostle who would go on to spread the message of the risen Christ in his life as a Christian witness. We read in Revelation 1, beginning with the fourth verse, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests, to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Here ends the first reading. Let's join in the Easter acclamation, read responsively as found printed in your worship bulletin. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The Lord takes pleasure in his people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. Put your finger here and see my hands.
Reach out your hand and touch my side. Do not be faithless, but believe.
This is the victory that conquers the world, our faith.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Blessing and honor and glory and might be to the one who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
The Lord is risen.
Our next Bible lesson is drawn from the Gospel of John. John, who also penned the book of Revelation, he wrote the fourth Gospel. And in this chapter, he presents to us resurrection appearances of Jesus in those 40 days between his Easter coming out of the grave alive and his ascension to heaven. We read there in John 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the second reading. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia.
Please rise as we confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 15 of the liturgy insert. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is drawn from the book of Acts in the 5th chapter, verses 12 and 17 to 32. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. And the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." And hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. And someone came and said, "Look,
The men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you've filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So far the text. In the name of our risen Savior, dear Christian friends, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That is what Jesus told the band of his disciple followers cowering behind lock doors for fear on Easter night. And you'll remember how he provided them with proof that he was not a ghost by inviting them to touch him and asking them to give him some food to consume in their presence. He then opened their minds to understand the Old Testament scriptures that foretold all about his suffering, death, and resurrection. And then he provided them with marching orders, what their assignment would be going forward, namely, to spread his life-giving word. Picture, if you can, a pebble being dropped into a water pond, and as it plops in, ripples radiating outward in ever-widening concentric circles. Well, that is what the Holy Spirit made happen with the message of the risen Christ through the apostles and other believers. Acts tells us, chapter 6, the word of God spread in Jerusalem, the number of disciples was multiplied. Acts 12, the word of God continued to increase and spread through Palestine. Acts 13, the word of the Lord spread through the region of Asia Minor. Acts 19, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power in the territory around the metropolis of Ephesus. And as you continue reading in Acts, you know how it spread farther than to the continent of Europe. And all this, mind you, despite increasingly hostile forces that set themselves against Jesus and his people. Well, this morning we want to consider Luke's account of the incredible Jerusalem jailbreak recorded in Acts chapter 5. And want to mark especially two takeaways from this story for our lives as disciple followers of Jesus today. First, that we can expect men, even government leaders, to do all they can to suppress and cancel the Easter message. But we can expect also, to our comfort and encouragement, the Holy Spirit to help and strengthen us to keep right on telling people the full message of Easter. So I mentioned Luke, he's the author of the book of Acts. He's the same man whom the Holy Spirit used to provide us with this third gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This was a sequel to his gospel. And he tells in the book of Acts of a series of events that took place in Jerusalem after Pentecost. The apostles of Jesus, in obedience to Jesus' word of instruction on Easter night, started immediately following Pentecost to spread the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name, and along with the preaching they were able to do with God's power miraculous signs as proof that the words that they were sharing were authentic. They were not fairy tales. Two of the miraculous signs, by the way, you'll remember, was how Peter at the temple at the beautiful gate healed a lame man who had never walked a step in his life. And we're told also in the same chapter of our sermon text how people were bringing sick people to the apostles, putting them in the streets and laying them on beds and mats so that when Simon Peter walked by and his shadow would fall on them, they would get cured. You'd think that the response of everybody to the preaching of the good news of Jesus, the loving Savior of sinners, with these accompanying signs, would have led them all to praise God and to listen with eager ears to the things that the apostles were saying. But this was not the case. Luke records in our text how members of the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin, that was the same body before whom Jesus was brought for trial, were filled with indignation, and especially since not long before this, they had given the apostles a cease and desist order to no longer speak or teach in the name of the resurrected Christ. So they had them arrested, put them in public jail with the intention of calling him in on the next day to question them. And that's when we hear the incredible account of how God, in the middle of the night, sent down an angel from heaven to break the apostles out and instructed them to go stand in the temple courts and to tell the people the full message of this new life, life in Christ. The Jewish authorities convened their meeting to call the apostles on the carpet, read them the riot act. They sent officers to have them brought in from the jail. The officers, however, found the jail was locked, guards posted as usual. But when the officers entered the jail, they discovered no apostles. We're told how, when they went back to give the report to their superiors, someone came in and informed them that apostles are in the temple courts again teaching the people about Jesus. So the captain then made a beeline for the temple, had his officers take the 12 into custody, brought them into the courtroom for questioning. That's when the high priest, probably would have been Caiaphas, angrily complained, "We gave you strict orders to not teach in this name. You've filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." The heart of this opposition, as we read between the lines, is that Caiaphas and the other Sanhedrin members knew that they had killed the Prince of Life and had shed his innocent blood, but they did not want to admit their wrongdoing. They did not want to repent. They did not want to confess that they needed Jesus to be their Savior from sin and from death. What about today? Well, we know there's still opposition to Christ and his teachings. In some cases also, yes, even government authorities. If you had a chance to read that March mission prayer list for our overseas missions, you noted how persecution is going on among our fellow believers in India, in one of the states, Karnataka, which is home to several CLCI-affiliated pastors. They passed an anti-conversion law recently, which has led enemies of Christ to persecute new converts to Christianity and filing formal complaints against them. Pastor Manatosh, leader of the church in Bangladesh, reported, that several people who were converted to Christianity from Hinduism have been physically assaulted and again falsely accused of crimes against the state. In our own United States, things, you know, they have not deteriorated to that extreme level yet. Still, isn't it true, my friends, we can tell, we notice, as we look out over the landscape of our society, that followers of Jesus are often portrayed by the media, by Hollywood, as very odd birds. Our American culture is getting more and more flagrant in disparaging faithful to the Bible Christians and churches who are fully committed in their teachings to the Christ of the Bible and to all the things that he has commanded us. Young people are being tempted also to view their elders, parents, and grandparents as dinosaurs and troglodytes, as ignorant people out of step with the times. That is how faithful Christians are often viewed and characterized still today, just as in the times of the apostles. Jesus foretold about this, we know. He said, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his family, Christians. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. So yeah, that's one takeaway from the story of our text, that we can expect the world at large and even sometimes government leaders to try to cancel and censor the gospel message. Now let's go on to consider the other very encouraging takeaway for our lives as Christians from Luke's incredible account of the jailbreak at Jerusalem. We can expect the Holy Spirit to help and strengthen us as Christians to keep right on sharing with others the full Easter message. We see this from the apostles' response here in our text to the order they received from the Sanhedrin when angry Caiaphas complained, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in Jesus' name, and yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." The apostles' reply was, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior so that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And we're witnesses of these things, and so isn't the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So we see how the Holy Spirit made the disciples to be markedly different in their character from what they had been. They are not the same scaredy cats who were shaking in their boots behind closed doors on Easter night. But now, in the face of opposition, they courageously proclaim the good news of Jesus. The angel that broke them out of the prison had said, "Go tell the people the full message of this new life." That's exactly what they did. It's also something Jesus foretold. He said, "You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth." That, my friends, is the power that the risen Christ continues to wield and to share in our lives as his followers today. The Holy Spirit does the same for Christians in our modern day world. He provides us with boldness to keep right on telling others the full message of Easter. What's the full message of Easter? Well, the reality of sin. There is such a thing as sin. And the penalty for sin, which is death, which brought God's Son down from heaven to the cross to atone for it, and then also his resurrection, which assures us that our faith in the risen Christ is not in vain. It is not a fairy tale. Very ironic, in our text we've heard how the high priest cast the blood of Jesus in a very unfavorable light. He spoke about it in negative terms in his round criticism of the apostles when he said, "You filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." It's ironic how the Holy Spirit, in his grace and power, enables God's believing people to view Jesus' blood in a very beautiful light, very positively. He helps us to want to fill the world with this message, which we consider precious and very, very glorious. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. It was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or defect. So we pray the Lord and continue to enable us and strengthen us and encourage us in this way to fill our homes with that message in our teaching of our children and family members, message of the risen Christ, and that we continue to fill our community as the Lord helps us with this message as we witness the risen Christ to friends and work colleagues, always being ready to give an answer to those who ask us to give them the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. And that we continue to spread this message through our congregation's mission outreach efforts, praying that the Lord would give us extra opportunities to talk to others about his blood shed for us all. And then also that he enable us and bless our efforts to fill the whole world with the message of the gospel as we offer petitions and as we bring offerings to his altar for CLC missions through the CBP, Cooperative Budget Plan. It's part of one of the pieces of pie, Emmanuel and Eau Claire. And then also another important part of that is our mission program, both stateside in the United States and overseas, so that those ripples might continue to emanate outward from us as individual Christians and as a congregation, as a synod to the other people of the world. For he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, writes John in his epistle. So those are two takeaways for our lives as disciples of Jesus from this account of Luke of the incredible Jerusalem jailbreak. Yes, expect opposition, expect enmity from the enemies of Christ and the gospel, but also be encouraged to know the Lord will continue to help and encourage you in your work of broadcasting and sharing the message of Christ as his witnesses. Let this then be our ongoing Easter hope and prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Take not your Holy Spirit.
upholdeth your spirit free.
O God of all grace, mercy, and peace, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, you declared him to be your Son and our Savior. By the faithful testimony of the apostles, you've given us the confidence that our faith stands on a most true and sure record. Grant to us the daily power of your Holy Spirit through your word of truth, that our hearts may always rest upon your sure promises. Preserve and defend us from all attacks upon our souls, so that we may firmly hold on to the profession of our faith. Deliver us from doubt and despair. Save us from false teaching and from the empty philosophies and the supposed wisdom of this world. Secure our hearts with your teaching, the spirit of truth, and the mind of Christ. Move our hearts daily to desire the pure teaching and refreshing comfort of your word, the Holy Scriptures. Help us always to find Jesus in them with eyes of faith. Though we do not yet see him, lead us to love him more and more, with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Empower your church, dear God, so that we may faithfully proclaim your word, spreading the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and boldness in all lands and to all people. Give to each believer here today a sense of both joy and urgency, joy in the promise of life eternal through the crucified and risen Savior, and urgency to share this saving message with all those who do not yet know him, that they also may be blessed with life eternal. Dear Lord, you know the desires and needs in each heart. Give your loving attention to the supplications that arise to you from each believer. And if in your wisdom you've permitted a cross of trouble or sorrow to come into our lives, give us the confidence that you will not permit us to be tested beyond our ability, but that you will show us the way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. Cause or grant to all your people daily repentance and the full assurance of forgiveness in Christ. Strengthen the doubting and those weak in faith. Bring back the forgetful and the wayward, and comfort the anxious and distressed. And as we go from this blessed place today, grant us your peace. All this we pray in the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we also pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Fearful sting he has come to destroy.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Us free. Alleluia, to him praises be. Jesus is living, let us all sing. He reigns triumphant, heavenly King. Let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, alleluia. Jesus is living, alleluia.